Back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection, and today we're in Luke chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, let's take it and let's look together at an interesting text of scripture, really the opening of Christ's public ministry. And Luke chapter 4, we're looking at verses 1 through 4. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone, that it may be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, when we come to this text of Scripture, we're actually going to spend several days dealing with the passage in front of us, because there's so much we can glean from it. So let me give you a simple summary statement, and then I want us to deal with the first section, or the first truth fact that we're going to look at in connection to Christ's temptation. Here's a summary statement. The following section records Christ's personal interaction with Satan at the beginning of his public ministry, revealing many details about the nature of temptation and teaching us that Christ can fully comfort us when we are tempted. The part of this passage that I'd like us to focus on is the fact that God is sovereign even when we face temptation. And what we're going to see is that it was the Spirit of God who led the Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness for these 40 days, and the purpose was that he would face a test, really a series of tests from Satan, and it was ultimately to demonstrate his fitness to begin this public ministry as the Messiah. In fact, what's interesting is if you compare what takes place in these 40 days and then you compare it to what took place in the Garden of Eden, what you see is the first man, Adam, was given a test. You shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did Adam do? He did not pass the test. Instead, he went and he took that fruit in rebellion against God, and he demonstrated that he wasn't really fit to rule over God's creation as a righteous man. Well, we see in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, a similar situation where Satan comes to him. And he doesn't just tempt him once or twice, he tempts him three times. And in this passage of Scripture, we're going to learn a lot about the nature of temptation and specifically what God was trying to accomplish by allowing his son to face this temptation. The first of those things is that God's sovereign. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to look at Hebrews chapter 4, because in Hebrews chapter 4, there's a very interesting statement about how Christ can comfort us when we are tempted, and it really is connected to this discussion about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. It says in Hebrews 4:14-16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So what's very interesting is that God invites us to come into his presence and to draw from his sustaining grace and to recognize that one of the reasons that Christ can actually comfort us in our temptations and in our trials and in our feebleness as humans is because he actually understands by experience what it's like to experience human frailty and temptation. So let's look at a couple of facts about testing and temptation and how it relates to God's sovereignty. The first fact that we're going to see in this passage is that God allows people to be tempted. When we say that God's sovereign, we're not saying that God is the one who's actually causing every single temptation. In fact, we're going to talk about this in a minute. But when we're saying that God is sovereign, what we're saying is while he rules, he governs how things play out in the world. And so God has the ability, has the power to keep us from temptation. He has the ability to allow us to pass through temptation. But if he does that, he has a purpose in why he does that. And he's never wanting us to sin. It's a test. It's something that he wants us to overcome and demonstrate that, in fact, we've grown and we've matured. And so notice the details of what we find in the text. It says Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Each detail is important. He was full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he wasn't doing this of his own will, but he was doing it because the Father, through the Holy Spirit, was leading him into that place. We also recognize that Christ was sinless. Christ never sinned. And so whatever takes place here during this 40 days of testing, we know that Christ didn't fail the test. In fact, he passed the test. So whatever takes place during this time period, we know that he never sinned. We know that from many other texts of Scripture. A third point is it says that he was led by the Spirit, not just full of the Spirit, but led of the Spirit into the wilderness. In other words, God actually wanted him in that position at that time to face those series of tests, and he had it for a reason. And then it tells us it was for 40 days that he was there. And during that time period, he was tempted, and it tells us, of the devil. In fact, this reminds us of what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer when he teaches us to pray. He says, "Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom." Those three statements, that succession of statements by Christ, is very important. Lead us not into temptation. Christ is teaching us that there are times that God in his sovereignty can preserve us from testing, preserve us from temptation, preserve us from evil. And in fact, we should ask him to do that. But we also see acknowledged in the Lord's Prayer that we are to ask him to deliver us from evil. So while there are times that God may choose to withhold the test from us, there are times that for some reason, according to his wisdom, he knows that we need to face the test. He allows us to face the temptation. And so what does Jesus say? Well, ask him to deliver you out of evil. As you are in the midst of the test, ask him to help you to overcome it. Ask him to help you to have victory over it. So there are times that God allows us to face testing. We see an example of the Lord Jesus Christ facing testing. And there are times that you and I face tests as well. And then the last thing that's interesting about that statement is he says, "For thine is the kingdom." In other words, he's acknowledging the ultimate sovereignty that God has over his creation. So God's sovereignty is what can preserve us from evil. And God's sovereignty is what can also allow us to face temptation and testing and evil and to have the power to overcome it. So the reason we pray to a sovereign God is because we recognize there are times he removes us from evil. There are times he delivers us through evil. The second fact we're going to see in connection to this issue of testing and God's sovereignty is that while God allows people to be tempted, he never entices them to sin. The reason behind why God allows people to face testing is always for their good. It's always for a good purpose, not for an evil purpose. And we see this in James chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So clearly in James's mind and what he's communicating, what the scriptures communicate, is that while God may allow us to pass through a test, a trial, a difficulty, while he knows that in those circumstances we will be enticed to sin, his purpose is always for our good. His purpose is never for us to fail. His purpose is never for us to be overcome by the temptation. But it's always that we will be strengthened, that we will demonstrate the fitness for a task, that we will learn of him, that we'll grow through those things. And so we see in this text that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of the who? The devil. It wasn't the Holy Spirit who tempted him. It wasn't the Father who tempted him. It was the devil. A third fact that we find in this text of Scripture is that God has a reason for allowing temptation. Now, the text doesn't clearly state all the reasons why. We have to look at other scriptures to think about this. We have to think about the timing of these events in relation to Christ's public ministry. Let's remember that Christ has just been validated by the Father and the Spirit. And the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, anointing him for his messianic ministry. And he was validated by the Father and the Spirit at the Jordan River when John baptized him. So we know that his ministry is now beginning. But at the beginning of his ministry, essentially what God is doing is he's going to demonstrate the fitness of Christ to actually fulfill the position that he's going to fulfill in his messianic ministry. But there's a second thing that we'll notice, and that is in another text, Hebrews 4, where we already were earlier today. He says, "Seeing then that we have a high priest, which is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What we can say is that there are reasons why God allowed the Son to be tempted. In other words, it was to allow Christ to legitimately represent us to the Father. When I say legitimately represent us, the idea is that as a man who faced temptation and faced testing, he can really function as a high priest. This was to demonstrate that it's actually possible to overcome temptation. When we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, these three times, and over the course of 40 days, he actually overcomes the test, and he actually triumphs over the temptation, it reminds us that it's actually possible. It's actually possible to overcome the test and the temptation. Thirdly, it demonstrates that Christ can actually sympathize with us in our weaknesses and our temptations. When the Bible says that we can come to him and he actually extends mercy to us, the idea is that he sympathizes not just as an outsider, but as someone who's actually experienced it. He's actually felt it. He knows it by personal experience. It also makes this offer of grace and help in time of need to carry more weight. He actually knows what it's like to be in this position. And the last thing, and I think really what is the whole sense of the passage in front of us, is that it demonstrated his fitness to rule when the first Adam failed the test in the garden. And so really what we see is that Christ is fulfilling all righteousness by demonstrating his power and his authority and his ability to overcome Satan's tests when Adam, the first Adam, did not. So here's the question. How can we practically apply what is in front of us this morning? Let me give you three thoughts that I jotted down today as I was thinking about this. The first is that we need to ask God to protect us from evil and temptation. Now, we understand that there are times that God may allow us to face tests and difficulties. But it makes sense if Christ in the Lord's Prayer says, "Pray, lead us not into temptation." And that's exactly what we should do. And it may very well be that there are things that God preserves us from simply because we acknowledge our frailty, we appeal to his mercies, and we ask him to deliver us from those things, to preserve us from those things. Thirdly, we need to humbly submit to his providence when this is not his will. There are times that God chooses to let us face tests and difficulties and hardships. And it's according to his purposes, and it's according to his will. And who are we to arrogantly shake our fists in his face and say, "What right do you have to let me go through this?" The fact is that we have to submit to what he is ultimately trying to accomplish in our lives. And there are times as we go through difficulties that we look back and we realize that God had good purposes in allowing us to face the things that we did. And as we look back in time, we can actually glory in God's purposes. But in the moment, many times we don't feel that way. And so we need to humbly submit to his providence and recognize there are times that he sometimes allows us to face these difficulties. And the last thing I'm going to mention is that we need to utilize the tools that he provides to overcome and endure. There's a passage that says that there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who won't allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. God will always provide the means necessary for victory. His purpose and his will is never to see us stumble in the midst of testing. Rather, it's to see us overcome. It's to see us grow. It's to see us demonstrate fitness. It's to see us learn of him. It's to see us draw from his enabling. And so I want to remind you, if God allows you to pass through a trial, then he has given you the tools that you need to overcome. And so I want to encourage you today to do exactly that. Whatever you may be facing, utilize the tools that God has provided so that you can be victorious. Hope this has been a challenge to you this morning. We're going to spend some time in Luke chapter 4 working through this passage and reflecting on several truths that we learn about God's ways and temptation and testing. And so I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray that you'll bless each person that's been able to listen to this lesson this morning. Encourage them and help them. And may you bless their day. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to chat with you this morning. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And Lord willing, we'll talk again next time. Bye.